by introduction, Roman numeral 1. Freedom or liberty is a concept that is often used but little understood by the human race. B, while volition, which is free will, is freedom to make choices. The possession of volition in and of itself does not make one free either physically or spiritually. Just because you have free will doesn't make you free, either on the physical plane or the spiritual plane. It just gives you freedom to choose. C, though volition is independent in its function, it still remains dependent upon and confined to the parameters within it is able to operate. D, this is easily demonstrated by the institution of slavery. The slave still possesses free will, but obviously they're greatly limited in regards to what they can do and not do in life. It's all determined in regards to those over them in authority. So E, even the sovereign will of God is enslaved to his absolute righteousness and justice. We call God's righteousness of his attributes the watchdog of all of his other attributes. And obviously, God cannot violate his righteousness. Otherwise, he would cease to be God. He would no longer exist. We just, everything's gone. Nothing ever existed. Wouldn't it? No, you go, wow, that's weird. But you know, that's the way it is in that regard. So even God is enslaved to his moral perfection. He's enslaved to his absolute perfection. Of course, you go, oh, I can live with that. So F, most people believe that being free is doing what you want to, when you want to, etc. But this is a fallacy, as we have been dealing with. G, as Scripture will reveal, true freedom is tied directly to authority and one's willingness to acclimate to the standards of said authority. All right, 2, now vocabulary used to express freedom. A, in the Hebrew, 1, the verb kafash is used one time to be free or loosed as opposed to being restrained or bound. Free, obviously, as opposed to a slave. Then you have the cognates, A, kufesha, it's a noun used one time, translated liberty or freedom. And then the adjective B, kafeshi, used 17 times, denotes a free man as opposed to slave or captive, one who is exempt from burdens or service. 2, you have the noun deror, used 8 times, means liberty or freedom, released from bondage, and followed by lamed, the preposition. It means to proclaim liberty or freedom to someone. So 3, several other Hebrew words that are not strictly in this family are used to denote various concepts that relate to freedom. B, in the Greek, 1, you have the verb eleutherao, used 7 times. It means to make free, to set at liberty, to exempt or liberate from liability or bondage. We saw that just in Peter, as well as this next noun, A, eleutheria, used 11 times, translated freedom or liberty. B, eleutheros, the adjective, used 23 times, means free or freeborn, free from slavery, exempt, unrestrained, not bound by an obligation. 2, like the Hebrew, there are other Greek words employed to express concepts of freedom that are not strictly translated or defined as freedom or liberty. Roman numeral 3, definition and description. A, freedom is the quality or state of being free. Exemption or liberation from slavery, imprisonment, restraint, or the power and control of another. B, it allows open access, admission, or use of that available. Like going to the amusement park, free. A kid can even understand that concept. So C, It is the independent ability to make decisions apart from any previous cause or antecedent or preliminary determination of another. In other words, someone else cannot overrule that and determine otherwise. So D, while freedom and liberty are synonymous, freedom emphasizes a lack of restraint or repression, while liberty implies previous restraint, release from slavery. Roman numeral 4, freedom in God. A, God is revealed to be the ultimate self-determining agent. Ephesians 1:11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His, that's God's, purpose. It's based on the sovereignty, who works all things after the counsel of His will, according to His own sovereign will. And He is therefore self-determining. Nobody tells God jack. I mean, why are you going to tell him? He already knows it. See? And that's the kind of God we serve. He is absolute sovereign in regards to His will. What He determines, it will come to pass. There's nothing that can stop it in this respect. So He's revealed to be the ultimate self-determining agent. He doesn't appeal to outside sources in regards to exercise of His will. That be out of God's self-determination, He formed a creation that reflects and reveals Himself by creating individuals that have free will themselves. Romans 1:19 through 20. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them, mankind, even those who are negative. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, are being clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So God has adequately revealed His person, of His existence, through creation in and of itself. For anyone who is rational and looks at creation in a rational way. So what are you saying, Ken? Evolutionists are irrational? I guess so. They are irrational. When you insist upon things that are not factual as being factual, that's irrational. See, the freedom of God is exercised and observed in the government of the moral creatures whom He created. But the evolutionists explain to us how law came into existence through the evolutionary process. I love to see him explain that one. How it inherently mankind, for all the written history we know of man, understands good and evil, understands the importance of law, and have always abided by law. Where did that come from? What fish did that come from? Some good caviar, wasn't it? God's freedom, the exercise which must be compatible with His essence, determined to create free moral agents whose eternal destiny would be decided by themselves and the use of the freedom He provided. This view of God's freedom and the freedom of those whom He created must be maintained in the face of exaggerated and unscriptural views of sovereignty, such as through Calvinism. F, any view that God's sovereignty by an eternal divine decree determined a fixed destiny of His moral creation without regard to individual choice reduces the concept of freedom to null and void. But Calvin is right. We're all just robots. God can coerce us to do whatever the heck, you know, he wants us to do in this regards. Then where did the term, where did freedom come from? Where did the concept of freedom come from? Now, it demands, the term itself demands free will. Deuteronomy 30:19, the documents, free will. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, Yahweh to the Jews, that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse, the two options of reality given to men. So choose, as bakar in the Hebrew, it means to choose, elect, select, decide for. Denotes a careful, well-thought-out choice. It's the same verb used of God choosing for himself in Deuteronomy 7:6, etc. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Compare Joshua 24:15. Another example of possession of free will. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Make up your mind, make your choice. See, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's his choice. And then Proverbs 1:29. To negative volition and the judgments that will come upon them. Why? The cause. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge. They despised Bible doctrine. And did not choose the fear of the Lord. Did not make the volitional choices of the adjustments to God. So G, that God chooses or elects certain members of the human race into his plan, and that man can choose or elect for his plan, denotes a self-determining action by both parties that is reciprocating and establishes the volitional basis agreement between both parties necessary for a union to occur. Again, that God chooses certain members of the human race into his plan, and that man can choose for his plan, denotes a self-determining action by both parties that is reciprocating and establishes a volitional basis agreement between both parties necessary for a union to occur. H, God provided moral creatures with the ability to make decisions on their own. And these decisions, not God, determine their eternal destiny. God provides the options, but man chooses which option to take. Our options are limited. It's either eternal judgment or eternal life. Eternal cursing or eternal blessing. Following God's will or following Satan's will. So, divine viewpoint, human viewpoint. Rulership of the STA, rulership of God the Holy Spirit. That's always our choices. That's our choices. That's where we're limited. So this is the purpose of divine institution number one, volition. The freedom of choice. J, God desires that his creation enjoy the freedom of will that he himself possesses. K, God placed the laws of divine establishment in order to protect freedom and ensure the proper function of volition. Nationalism, authorities of civil governing, laws, etc. L, again, is noted that while God has maximum freedom, even he is bound to act only in a manner compatible with all the attributes of his essence. Take our break.